We are here with Nigel Bock, writer, director, star of the Bad Ben trilogy. And he's finally got, a new movie out called Bad Ben Pandemic, which came out in August, where Tom tries to help, well, his character, Tom Riley, tries to help people with their paranormal experiences, and he berates them the whole time they're on the movie. And a great review on IMDb about Bad Ben Pandemic is, it's, quote, truly awesome. And I agree.
I thought my mom had passed away.
No, I mean, Anthony and his kids are huge fans of yours. I've been hearing about you for years. And there was one day when they said, have you watched Bad Ben yet? I was like, no. And they were like, what? Go watch right now. So they sent me right to it. So I get it. I get it. Is it weird having, like, these fanboys? Like, I mean, you know, Anthony's an adult. His kids are teenagers. I mean, it seems like you have a wide range of people who like your movies.
Well, they keep cashing the checks. So, no, it's the whole thing is strange to me, because how this all happened was back in, it's been 4 years now, and I had, people often used to say to me, hey, you got all this camera equipment and you're a screenwriter, why don't you make your own films? Mm-hmm. Well, what people don't realize is, just because you own a camera doesn't mean you can make Avatar.
Right.
So I own, like, you know, prosumer cameras, because I used to do local TV commercials for, like, Comcast. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would do Joe's Pizza that's down the corner, and it would be inserted locally. So I had this equipment, and I said, I reverse engineered a film. I said, you know what I could do? I could make a film that looks like it was shot on the type of cameras I have. Mm-hmm. And I had taken care of my mother for a decade, until she peacefully passed in 2013. Way to put a downer on the interview, right?
No. Yeah,
but she peacefully passed 2013. But while she was alive, I had cameras that I put in the house. Mm-hmm. And these would allow me to, when I was out of the house, to be able to keep an eye on what was going on here. Mm-hmm. And I used to, at night, I'd sometimes pick up, you know, my phone and look at it and look at the cameras. And I'd say, man, wouldn't it be really freaky if something walked across that room right now, or if a chair moved or something. So when this idea came, you know, the idea came to me to shoot a found footage film, like a Paranormal Activity, mm-hmm. and it would be filmed on surveillance cameras within a house. I said, you know, that's something I can do with what I have. So the original idea was, I was going to hire a group of actors, about six of them, mm-hmm. and it was going to be a young lady was home alone. Her parents were away, and her boyfriend comes over. They invite some friends, and then one by one, they start disappearing. Well, that in fact happened. One by one, prior to shooting, they disappeared.
They all have weddings to go to.
I never met any of them, so it's not like I offended them. So they were going to come down from New York and to be in this. And the Wednesday before I was to begin shooting in May of 2016, I'm driving home in a pouring rainstorm, and I get a text message from, all I have left is the female lead.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I said, so I'll just use her. And I get a text message from her that says, moving to L.A., can't be in your film. Sorry, good luck.
Oh, man. No.
So I said, darn it. And I just put my phone down the front seat of the car. I said, I give up. And about 30 seconds later, I scooped it up and I started recording myself. And I said, here I am on my way home from a sheriff's sale, a house I bought at a sheriff's sale on Steelmanville Road.
Right.
I pull in the driveway and I flip the camera around. I say, not bad for a sheriff's sale. And that decision to do that in about 30 seconds after saying I give up launched this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been the same if you had all those actors. Like, it just, the thing about it that's so charming is you. And the thing that's funny is you. I don't think it would be the same set of movies if you had a group of actors. Don't you agree?
Yes, and I came to learn that as things progressed in the series, because, first of all, it's very difficult. that's a very high compliment, and I appreciate it. But I came to find out in the oddest ways that the charm of this movie was two things. Number one, it was the house, but it was my character. I compare myself to, like, Steve Carell in The Office, Michael Scott. I think I'm brilliant, but I'm really a moron. in this thing. And the funny thing was, in the case of the first film, I was trying to make a horror film, and I thought I was making a horror film. Mm-hmm. But after it got up and got seen, it became obvious that people found it scary, but they found it funny too, which my accent and stuff like that, you know, and just my actions. But after that first film, when I went on to make a second film with a full cast, they hated it. The audience hated it because I walk up in the last 90 seconds of the film because it's a prequel, but they didn't like it as much. And to be fair, that film, Steelmanville Road, has found its own audience because it's a different type of film. But then for the third one, I embraced the fact that people were finding it funny, and we made it funny, and we've carried on with that ever since. And then the fifth one, where I wasn't in most of that either, the Crescent Moon Clown, people didn't like that either. It's just seemed to like my buffoonery.
I think you don't realize how funny you are. You know, it's so subtle, your humor. That's what I like about it, is that it's, you know, when someone is trying to be funny, they're never funny. Mm-hmm. And the real brilliance that you have is just this natural ability to just be yourself without even real. You're right. I think Steve Carell is in The Office is a really good analogy, because the intention is to be very serious, but it reads kind of funny and relatable. You know, it's like, that's how I would behave in a situation like that too.
Well, it was, when people started writing that it was funny, at first it bothered me, but by the third time, but they were rating it really high.
Yeah.
And that brings up an interesting story. In my first five ratings on Amazon were 5 stars. And then came the sixth. And it was 1 star. And the lady wrote, "This is why people hire casts and crews to make films and don't do it themselves. And this movie's terrible," and blah, blah, blah. She went on and on and on. Well, on Amazon, you can take and look at a person and see things they've purchased in the past. Those things public. So it turns out this lady had purchased wart cream, amongst other things.
God.
So I wrote her back. And I wrote, "I'm sorry you didn't like my film, and good luck with your warts." And she writes back, "I'll have you know I have a great doctor and my warts are fine." Well, then I went back and deleted my comment. So all you saw was her saying, "This is why people hire crews to do a film, and I'll have you know I have a great doctor for my warts." And I actually got in trouble. I have two things. Amazon, I cannot comment on any purchase. Today, and I bought a box opener. I cannot comment on whether I liked it or not, because they banned me from commenting for being a smart aleck.
Here's my favorite part of that story. All the positive comments you ignore. It's the one comment from some stupid lady who just has no sense of humor, who's humorless, and that's the one you focus on. I feel like that is the mark of a real talent.
But isn't that human nature?
No, I think that's people in our industry. Anthony and I can tell you the one time in each station we've worked for that we had somebody who hated us and why they hated us and what they said. But we had many people who love us. I couldn't tell you the first thing that they said or what they love about us, but I can tell you about the woman who was offended was talking about. Oh, which one?
No, the one where you said penis, and we got in trouble for that.
Right.
And I was in the office saying, "Well, she's a doctor. She's actually got a PhD, and she said penis. But one listener got offended, and then one listener said, I said Africa, which I've never said that in my life, but I got called under the rug for saying something I didn't even say.
No, because we were playing Toto's Africa. That's why we were playing the song Africa by Toto. You know, the cover that was just recently done right. by, who was it, like Weezer or somebody? Yeah.
Weezer.
So we were playing that and talking about it. It was the song Africa. Oh, they're so racist. They're talking about Africa. We're talking about a song. It's a pop station. Like, what do you think you're listening to, lady? So, yeah, we can't. And we've had thousands and we've had top rated shows all over the country. I'm sure they said nice things. Couldn't tell you one nice thing they said about us.
No.
I can tell you the thing that sticks out in my mind. Well, it is. It's the negative comments. They stick out in my mind constantly. And I just want to find these people and kill them.
No, it's people with keyboards. People that hide in their basement behind their keyboards. That drives me insane.
Well, you know, you bring up a very interesting point, because back in the day when I used to supervise people, I used to tell them there's three types of courage in the world. There's face-to-face courage, which is real courage.
Mm-hmm.
There's that courage that comes when you're sitting, you know, you call somebody on the phone and you're chewing them out. And then there's the courage when you're anonymous in the basement on a keyboard, and you can write anything you want. And some of these people really take the power seriously.
Right.
I got to tell you, though, and while you mentioned about focusing on the negative, I got to tell you, I've had so many awesome experiences, though, from people. Like even this last film we just did, Pandemic, I got contacted by one of the members of that. I don't know if you've watched it yet, the film. But
it is awesome.
Of course, please. You don't. I don't think you realize what a fanboy
no,
you have
you
over
have
here.
You have no idea.
Yeah, it's really.
Well, do you remember the gentleman? His name was Rick. I think he was the last next to the last person on screen.
Mm-hmm.
He was. Anyway, I don't know that you remember him, but you would if you go back now. Look at it. He's in the military, and he's currently deployed to the Middle East. He contacted me to tell me that his family are huge fans of the movie. And it was while I was still putting together this movie. And I said, well, and he said, we actually schedule nights because I'm over here in the Middle East and they're at home in the States. And we schedule and start the movie at the same time and watch it at the same time and text each other. Hmm. And I said to him, I said, well, Rick, how would you like to surprise the heck out of them and be in the film?
Wow.
And I said, why don't you shoot? And I told him what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he shot a scene with two of the other people he was there with. And we put it in the movie. So that night when him and his sons and his wife were all watching the movie at the same time, they get all the way to the end and boom, up pops dad.
Oh,
so
wow.
That was an awesome surprise for them. And it worked out great. And some of this last film, some of the talent, what I learned about some of my fans, so talented, so many of these people. But I've had a blast. I've had people love it because, you know, I kind of have a filthy mouth in the movie.
Right. Uh-huh.
And people, you know what cameo is, right?
Mm.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
People have me do something similar to that. They will have me film a scene like it's in the house, and then I mention their loved one, their spouse, their significant other, whoever, their kids, whatever, mention their names in it. But they love to have me curse their family out.
Okay.
Because they can't.
I have so many questions. I want to get to these real quick. When did you start recording and making Pandemic? Was it before the pandemic or as it was going on?
No, I actually have been turning out films on average every October and every May.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the May filming would be happening in like February, March, April. And this pandemic came around and I just knew it was not responsible to be filming, you know, try and get people together to do this. So that's when the idea came to me, because I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Unfriended.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bunch of friends talking on Skype.
Okay.
And one by one, stuff's happening to them. So I said, let's put something together like this. And I asked my fans if they wanted to be in it, and they said yes. So I actually started it in about April. And it was, I got to tell you, I was a little overwhelmed by the amount of submissions I had.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me longer than shooting a regular film would take.
Right.
By editing these. One person shot one scene and she gave me 30 takes of the same.
Oh, God.
And as it turns out, she did an awesome job, but she did an awesome job on the third take. And, but anyway, some of them, it took a while to put together, but it was good.
Okay. Is the Bad Ben house, that's your personal house, right?
Correct. It was cheap. I could afford it.
You got it from a sheriff's sale. We know.
Actually, I made that up on the spot. But.
Are you in the basement right now?
Yes. Actually, this is, you can't see it from where, from the angle I have the computer at, but from back there, that's the door I chopped through.
Right.
And this is the floor I was drug across by my friend Matt. Who, by the way, I don't know if you ever follow me on Instagram. 2 weeks ago, I performed his marriage.
Oh, did you really?
That's so nice. I'm going to follow you on Instagram. What's your Instagram, by the way?
Nigel Bach. I'm real original.
You got your name. And that's a big deal to get your name on Instagram.
Do you still have the Bad Ben music box?
I do.
Nice.
Actually, that was a toy I got. It's that thing's probably older than all three of us.
And it still works. And Ben loves it, by the way. You better never, ever stop making Bad Ben movies. I wrote that down. you can't. I mean, you have to keep these going until the end of time.
Yeah, he has so little. It's the least you can do.
When I was in New York and my family was in South Carolina, Nigel, I would find one of your movies on Amazon and go insane and call my son immediately and say, you have to stop what you're doing and watch this right now. We have bonded over these movies. The third one scared the shit out of him. He couldn't leave the room. It scared him so bad.
They had no relationship until you, Nigel, until your movies. You have made a father and son. You've gotten them together.
Families together.
That's right.
Bad or Ben scared him?
Bad or Ben scared the crap out of him.
I'd like to know what part of that scared him.
Oh, or it was the second one. Which one was with the ghost kid in the green?
That was the second one.
That was the second one that scared the crap out of him. That kid scared the crap out of him.
Yeah, Elijah was his name in the movie. Alex Palin.
Oh.
He's him and actually the couple in that film just told me last week they're going to have a baby. I said, don't name it Ben. But I don't know if you know this or not. I don't have any films on Amazon anymore.
Yeah, that's you have some type of beef with them right now, right?
Well, what I would suggest is if you're looking for an idea for a Christmas present, get a Roku for the family.
Hmm.
First of all, Rokus are awesome. That was the first thing I had to ever get streaming channels on. But yeah, I'm making my own Roku channel because Amazon has mistreated its indie producers. And of course, they have their side of the story. But what happens is when I first submitted this back in October of 2016, they were paying us 15 cents an hour streamed.
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody to watch my entire film, I would make 22 cents.
Right.
If they had Prime, because it was free with Prime.
Right.
A year and a half after that, they lowered the rate to 6 cents an hour. So it's basically almost a 75% pay cut until you reached like 30 million minutes watched. And then it would go up to 10 cents. And then this past year, they lowered the rate to a penny.
Oh, my God.
So it's just, it got to the point where, and I actually, when I finished Pandemic, I put them all back on Prime, and I was going to leave them up on Prime through Halloween, but Pandemic, they would never approve. It never got approved, and it didn't say it was rejected, it just says it needs a manual review. Well, I'll tell you what I think. This is total speculation, full disclosure.
Okay.
Total speculation. I think because it was called pandemic.
Right.
They wanted to make sure I wasn't on there giving advice. Like no. Some sort of, and it requires, because I think machines watch most of the films.
Right.
They're listening for certain key phrases and all. But I'm thinking that they just, you know, never got around to it. And I had enough. Hmm. I mean, they cut my, and it's not just me. It's every indie producer. Because here's one of the problems that happened. Hollywood started saying, hey, you know, we can make money per hour streamed. We got all these films sitting in vaults. Let's upload them here. Mm-hmm. And then one of the series that's been uploaded on there is Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's not just them buying it. It was the producer of it uploaded them. So I was now competing with like Roseanne and
right.
the budget they had and the popularity they had. So it just became too much. And I just said, you know, I have to take this leap of faith and believe in myself. So this Roku channel, I have it now, but actually the end of November, it's going to launch. It's going to be available on Roku, all the films, but they're also going to be available on iPhones and Android devices and computers. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The number one question I'm being asked from indie producers is if they can put their films on my channel.
Mm-hmm. And what do you tell them?
Well, I would tell them yes, but it's going to be very difficult for me to figure out at this point how to pay you, because
right.
what happens is I don't know when there's millions. You know, say there's 50,000 minutes viewed in a day. Right now, it doesn't break out to tell me what's viewed and what's not.
Oh, I see. I don't know if it's your film or their film, so there's no way to know. Okay. Oh,
but that's coming down the road. So when okay. it comes down the road and ads are selling good and all, that's a possibility. The biggest thing that shocked me out of all this when I did it, I expected some people would watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But Bad Ben, the original, has been streamed over 100 million minutes.
Wow. Oh, my Lord. See, that it seems like Amazon, their philosophy is if you're terrible and nobody wants to watch you, we'll pay you. But if you're good, that means you're valuable and you're worth a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to have to pay you that much money. So they start screwing with your per minute amount of money they're going to pay you. The better you do, the less money they want to give over. And that's the opposite of what filmmaking is. You want to pay creatives. I mean, this is the argument that's been going on for years in the music industry, everywhere.
Well, Amazon also did that to the music industry with Apple with
that's right.
Amazon Music, or Prime Music. But Apple, you know, started paying the music industry what they asked for. Google started doing it. Amazon didn't want to do it. And it was because of a strong union. Hmm. Now, if indie producers, if the union was organizing indie producers, they could take them on too. But let me make one thing clear. Amazon gave me an opening that mm-hmm. was
right.
phenomenal. And it gave me exposure. You know, this is the eighth film I've done now. And it's all because of the success of that first one and each subsequent one. So while they've changed their model, then it no longer works for me.
Right.
They did give me and a lot of people an excellent opportunity to get seen and get noticed. But
that's true. Well said.
Do you have a Christmas movie coming out?
I'm going to do an animation. It's going to be probably between 15 and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We did a Christmas special last year that we put up for the people that were patrons and GoFundMe.
Santa Vampire. Santa what? Zombie.
No, Santa Zombie I did in the first year.
Of course he knows.
Last year we did, it was, I don't even know what the heck I called it now, but it had the evil elf queen and her jesters. But we put that up. That was a lot of fun. And that will be back on this Christmas. That'll be up. And so we've got an animation coming. The Santa Zombie will be there again. And also this, the Christmas special, which was a blast. Okay. All of these have been a blast.
Well, if you need content, this guy right here is going to be more than happy to send you whatever you need.
Yeah, I've already written the next Bad Ben movie, so I've already got that planned out for you.
Do you want to give him a little hint of the? You want to tell him a little bit about the storyline and what you wrote for him?
Okay, here's my story. It's I wrote this out already. So Tom has a friend. Okay, his friend may be named Anthony. We don't know. He hooks Tom up with a dating app. Okay, he meets Tom, then meets this girl named I don't know Cooper. So Cooper moves in to the house. She brings a cross and a Bible and the Lord's Prayer, and she brings that into the house. Ben kind of gets pissed off and starts screwing with her all the time. But Tom never sees it. Only Cooper sees it. And Ben starts to beat her up and throw her down the stairs and all this while they're dating. And at the end of the movie, Cooper gets ultrasound, and you see the baby inside her holding the little music box. So then Ben becomes your baby inside her, and it's called Mad Ben because Ben is pissed off that you have a girlfriend now.
Well, obviously you've dug deep into this, and you've realized
there's your fan fiction.
Well, you know, we're going to have extra material on the Bad Ben TV Roku channel. And one of the things that the evil Miss Holly, who's my roommate, and I were talking about today was that I should read, it should be called 50 Shades of Tom. And I should basically read, you know, fan fiction and like, you know, sex books and all. I should read them. Straight face, and that's one idea, but I don't know how good I'd be at it because I lack so much experience.
That's the brilliance of it. I love that idea.
You have to stick with the Bad Ben premise because you can that can live forever.
Well,
where
I live in southern New Jersey is where the Jersey Devils actually folklore has it, and when we were kids. There, I could introduce you to 15 of my friends, and all 15 of them will tell you that their great 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 uncle was the Jersey Devil, because I was told that, and it scared the heck out of me. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be out at night. Therein lies the secret. Our parents all told us we were related to the Jersey Devil, and he'd snatch us, so we would all be in the house when it got dark.
Brilliant.
But Bad Ben is such a perfect thing to keep doing. And I don't know how to explain it to you enough how much we've enjoyed them. All eight of the movies.
I've told everybody, as long as you keep watching, I'll keep making them.
Thank God.
Let me tell you something, Nigel. We have had Miley Cyrus on the show and Lady Gaga and Harry Styles and Ed Sheeran. Anthony has never been excited for anybody coming on the show until he found out that we were having you, Nigel Bock, on this show. Now it matters to him.
It goes Gene Simmons and then Nigel Bock. I think
Gene Simmons was fun. Yeah, you're right.
Gene Simmons, but I think Gene Simmons could almost beat. I think Nigel is almost on top of Gene Simmons.
Well, it's obvious that Anthony has taste. That's why I also agreed to come on, because I had such a long list of other things to do tonight.
So how do people watch Pandemic? How do they watch that?
Well, right now on the Facebook page, Bad Ben Movie, you know, Facebook.com/Bad Ben Movie. It's up there for free. It's pinned to the top of the page. They can
That's
watch
great.
If they have a Roku device, they can go to Bad Ben TV. It's a Roku channel, and they can watch all eight of the films are up there for free.
That's wonderful.
That's a perfect week. That's the perfect thing to do this weekend. Just watch Bad Ben on your Roku nonstop.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I do every night.
Just to watch yourself.
I just sit there and I watch myself, and I make everybody that's why I have no visitors anymore. I thought it was the pandemic, but
nope.
Nigel, we can't watch Tom again.
It's like watching your grandma's home movies every time you go over there. Yeah, I hear you.
That's probably right. If you walk into that living room, I think that's what's on nonstop.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. When I went to shoot the second one, the couple that was in that Steelmanville Road, they the first time they stood at the top of the basement steps looking down, I said to them, go on down, and I'll come, and they didn't want to go. I had to go down first for them to want to come down. But yeah, it's been, you know, it's actually unbelievable in many ways. The experience has been so fantastic. And one of the guys, the voice of The Haunted Highway, was one of my favorite films to make.
That was good.
The voice of the car was the guy that was the voice of the skeleton on the Craig Ferguson Late Late Show.
Oh, right. Yeah.
His name's Josh Thompson. And he just contacted me one day through Twitter, and we got talking, and he said, oh, I'd love to be a part of it. And I said, yeah, but aren't you SAG or an AFTRA? And he said, yeah. I said, yeah, you can't do it. But anyway, we found a way for him to be in it by using his voice, which he probably still can't do, but
right.
He didn't care. But he was just, he was awesome. I've got to meet a lot of awesome people in it. And it was nobody was more surprised by the success of this than I was.
And you have no idea how great it's been for us. So
yeah, as fans, yeah.
Then you guys ought to be in the next one.
That's what I said. You have to knock Cooper up, and then she has a baby, and she has Bad Ben. See, I wrote this for you, Nigel. Come on.
He's a screenwriter, Anthony. Let him write it. It's his films.
I just want him to knock you up, and I want you to be thrown down the stairs relentlessly in this movie.
That is what he really wants.
Yeah.
Well, I just you should just feel lucky, Cooper, that I'm not the father of your child. What I told
giant
you.
Giant head. That's true. And you know, I'm only 5'2". I'm like 115 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the end of me.
And if you watch Pandemic, you get to find out who started the pandemic. Who is Patient Zero?
Ooh,
I'm not going to say who it was, but somebody is Patient Zero, and we find out in this movie. So you have to watch it on Facebook.
So it's like a documentary. That's great.
Now, Anthony, it sounds like you watched through the credits, too.
Yes, I did.
Because not everybody did.
Yes.
And I learned a long time ago from Marvel Films, you have to watch the credits.
Yep, and the band was actually pretty good that you had the song on through the ending of the credits. That was a good band.
Yeah, well, they were actually, you remember the guy Homer that jumped off the balcony?
Right.
They were friends of his. Because I put a call out. These fans are awesome. Mm. I put a call out. I say, I need a song for my film, and I'll get 15 songs.
Oh.
And 14 of them typically suck.
Right.
but I do. No. I do. The thing that becomes tough is you got to pick one.
Right.
You've got like 10 of them. But these guys, just the words, because I was actually looking for music. But the words in their song just matched this film perfectly.
It was perfect. So thank you very much. We wait for the next one. When you have your next movie, we have to promote that also. Nigel Bach, thank you so much
for joining us. Nigel. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. It's been a blast.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye.